You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Benjamin. It's a really, really word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, trying to shout and take a roar, and I'd like to give you information. That's my favorite word, blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three of the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host. We come to you live every Sunday evening, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast and 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. Our thanks to Billy Crone for that riveting presentation, and I promise we're going to get him back both on the Sunday night show and get him on the weekday show. We could easily do 3 hours with him. I mean, we could probably do 3 days. What a storehouse of knowledge. And I considered myself to be pretty knowledgeable. He brings up MAVs, and I go, I know what those are. Yeah, I've seen the video. I've seen the depiction of assassination, 100,000 of these coordinating together. He went a lot farther than what I knew about. Scary, scary stuff. You almost wonder if we're not past the point of no return. And Katie, you know, honestly, how I look at this now, this is the military of the Antichrist. This is, I mean, I know that sounds like hyperbole, but I think I really mean it. I got to think about this a little bit, but I really believe this is the military of the Antichrist. And this is why Google hired Ray Kurzweil. Guarantee you, that's why they did. Man, I need to decompress after the show and get my mind around this interview because there's so much for me to process.
Well, it is interesting, and it does cause concern, and I bet it as this technology unfurls itself, I bet Revelation, the book of Revelation, you know, where John was having strange visions of, you know, seven heads and 10 horns, and, you know, everyone speculated on those are nations and all kinds of, it had the head of a leopard and the face of a this. Maybe as this technology unfurls, we will be able to associate John's visions with some of the technology coming out. But something real quick before I start my segment, Dave, I was freaking out too, and I kept just, oh my gosh, my gosh, my gosh. But I also remembered that the scripture, our God, is in complete charge of this. I am not going to flip out about this because he said that his people will be marked on their forehead, and the enemy cannot touch them. So no matter what kind of technology comes our way, I'm standing on the word of God, and my behavior, my relationship with God is so critical and so important and so beautiful that I'm going to trust that I've been marked, you've been marked. They can't touch us, Dave. What do you think of that?
I think at the end of the day, you're right. But I think between now and the end of the day, there's a whole lot of us that are going to go through H-E double hockey sticks.
And I'm not going to be afraid, nor are you.
Do I get to keep my microwave popcorn now? I mean, what's the point of dieting?
I suppose at that point, who cares? I might even have some.
You may as well live it up.
I know.
You know, if people want to see a good movie, go watch the old version. Actually, I mean the new version of On the Beach, 1950s remake done about 20 years ago, where nuclear war wiped out the planet. The Australians were the last ones left alive. And they talk about what it's like in the final days. Interesting psychological profile. Katie, let's get healthy in the time we have left.
Let's get healthy. I have something a little different. I always have something a little different, but this is really different. You know, I've been talking about taking health into your own hands and not necessarily turning our lives over to the system, quote unquote. And really, people, when you take care of yourself, when you watch what you're doing, be accountable for your own health, amazing things happen. I'm going to read, if I have time, I'm going to get through something from Waking Times. It's called The Case of the Incredible Disappearing Cancer Patients. I covered something from Time Magazine a few weeks ago about breast cancer, and I got some emails. Why aren't you covering this cancer and that cancer? These articles, whether they be about breast cancer or prostate cancer, they're just about disease in general, debilitating, deadly diseases. So as I read this, it's not just about breast cancer. It's about any kind of cancer. It's about an approach. It's about an attitude. It's about knowledge. It's about being proactive. So don't take it just as a specific cancer. It is about disease. But a couple things real quick I wanted to cover. Dr. Toshiro, who I had on a few months ago, practices field control therapy, and it's energy medicine, and it's about trusting the body to heal itself. And he gave me a letter written by one of his colleagues who practices field control therapy, and he had two very successful breast cancer patients. One had simply just had breast cancer one had stage four and one had stage one. And they both did nothing but field control therapy. Field control therapy. Go back to my blog and or just do a search on it. Do a good gopher search. Field control therapy, FCT. And the one patient who had simply had the cancer, stage one, she did nothing but field control therapy, and the tumor basically disappeared over time. They did nothing but this. Another one was on her deathbed. She was in hospice. There were lawyers and priests there, and she was skin and bones, and there was nothing left. She couldn't talk. She was on morphine drip. Someone had called this doctor in, got her on field control therapy. Within days, she was sitting up, she was eating, talking. She had 6 months of quality life. She went off the field control therapy and started playing around, tinkering around with other remedies, and then began to fade again. But this brought her back from the brink of death. So the concept is, the doctor says, one key tip I learned from the case, this case and others, most cancer therapies approach aim to attack reduced tumors. To quote Dr. Yukofsky, it does not matter what it is as long as the aim is the same, kill, kill, kill. That's what modern medicine does. In stark contrast, I have found that genuine healing in cancer requires 80% organ support and no more than 20% cancer attack /reduction. When you think about it, it's no surprise, really. As with all diseases, field control therapy works at the body's own natural pace of self-healing, not trying to force issues. Otherwise, you have short-term gains at a medium or long-term cost. Take it slow. Don't try to rush it too much, and then you will get the splendid results. Don't put all your energy into trying to attack or reduce the tumors. Measure your progress primarily not by the tumor size, but by the general patient's vitality, sleep, mood, cognition. So what field control therapy does, it raises the intelligence of the person's own organs. Isn't that interesting, Dave?
Yeah, it is. So, I've heard about field control therapy. It has a lot of offshoots to it in the world of psychology. They mm-hmm. talk about cognitive psychology, which has been an adjunct to health psychology applications, using your mind to heal. So I'm somewhat familiar with what you're talking about, but let's go on.
Sure. I wanted to start with that, but this story from the Waking Times is very interesting. It's called The Case of the Incredible Disappearing Cancer Patients. This is wonderful because I think people are waking up. Especially the fact that it was on the cover of Time Magazine. Remember a few weeks ago I covered that? It said, you know, they had a picture of a woman holding her breast, you know, about breast cancer. And she says, what if I just do nothing? I mean, so this is getting out there in the mainstream. But it says, it's been almost 20 years since my first disappearing patient. A nurse in her early 40s, let's call her Kate. Kate was diagnosed with breast cancer. As a nurse, she had seen the results of breast cancer treatments. She was terrified and determined. She was not heading for surgery, nor chemo, nor radiation. But Kate worked in a hospital. She worked with doctors who diagnosed her cancer. She worked with a surgeon who wanted to schedule her into surgery as soon as possible. The first thing Kate did was slow down. She did some research. It didn't take her long to remind herself that in Canada and in the U.S., the treatments for cancer are akin to law. No hospital would dare deviate from the deadly three: cut, poison, burn. Boy, that is, that's true. Kate's cancer was not large. She had been tested for cancer last year and no cancer was found. She knew it took many years for cancers to develop. At first, she was furious. If it is here today, it must have been here last year. Why didn't you find it last year? It had not metastasized. It was not growing rapidly and was not affecting her health in any way. In theory, she had lots of time. So she took some time. And this is my note. I encourage people to do that also. You know, work with your surgeons, work with your doctors. Find a holistic doctor to work with in conjunction with your surgeons. Please don't take just your traditional surgeon's word for it. Get as many opinions as you can. Have two or three doctors working on it and make your call. But it says Kate didn't look for magic cures. She didn't search for the latest cancer medicine. She wasn't interested in curing herself. She knew she was a nurse. She didn't look for magic cures. She didn't search for the latest cancer medicines. She wasn't interested in curing herself. She knew she was a nurse, not a doctor. She searched instead for the cured patients who were diagnosed with cancer and no longer had cancer. She knew from her work in the hospital, from conversations with patients and with some staff, that these people existed. But from the perspective of the medical establishment, they seemed to disappear. It didn't take long to find some patients who claimed they were cured. They hadn't disappeared from life. They were eating, drinking, loving, and living full, healthy, and prosperous lives. But according to the medical records, they didn't exist. They were never cured. And this, Dave, is the problem with with some of the stats and how they're really keeping things like alternative methods under the radar. But the medical system treated their cures as anecdotal. They ignored them. There was no attempt by any doctor to understand what happened to these cancer patients. They were no longer sick. The medical system looks after sick patients, treats sick patients. These patients were not sick. Kate looked and listened. Her interest was not clinical science versus anecdotal evidence. Her interest was personal. She talked, listened, compared stories from several. She learned about a clinic that did not claim to cure cancer. It did not use medicines to treat cancers, but patients were cured. Somehow, this clinic was not in Canada. It was not in the U.S. She would have to go to Mexico. So moving right along, her insurance companies wouldn't pay for this, Dave. So she had to go down there on her own expense, and she did. So she got to Mexico, and the staff did not claim to cure cancer. Claiming to cure cancer is dangerous, even for a clinic outside of North America. They suggested Kate visit the clinic and see what happened there. No charge for a visit, but she would need to pay for her travel to Mexico. So she had done her research. She made her decision. She was familiar with cancer diagnosis techniques in Canada. She'd undergone a physical exam, mammogram, detected a lump. Then she had a biopsy where tissue was taken from the lump and was sent to a lab for analysis. Kate knew what the mammogram had this is interesting. Kate knew that the mammogram had a high false positive rate and false negative rate. Many people who are diagnosed with a possible cancer by a mammogram do not actually have cancer. She was also aware that cancer biopsies have a false positive rate and a false negative rate. So it's a great indicator, but please, people, think about getting out there and getting second opinions. Slow it down. If you have that luxury, I mean, if you find it in stage four, then you have another issue to deal with. But generally, when you find things early enough, you've got the time to take a breath, relax, and think this out. So Kate knew one thing. She had time. She cashed out some savings and went to Mexico, blah, blah, blah. The clinic read her diagnostic reports but did not investigate them further. There was instead a very thorough analysis completed by a suite of doctors. It took 2 full days of tests and interviews. Kate was asked about her family's medical history, gave blood samples, blah, blah, blah. Her immune system was tested, extensive interviews about her life, her work, her relationship. This is what holistic medicine is all about. It's treating the whole person. It's not just going after the disease. Because if you go after the tumor, the cause of what brought that about is never addressed. It may very well, in fact, come up sometime later. No one's ever, and this article goes on to say, no one's ever really cured of cancer with traditional medicine because it's still there because of the way we treat it. At the time I talked to Kate, the author of the article says, I didn't realize that she was not getting a medical analysis. She was actually getting a, what they call, health assign, like medicine, health assign analysis. Her tests and questions fit perfectly to her hierarchy of health assign, genetics, nutrition, cells, tissue, organs, bodily systems, body, mind, spirit, and community. I love this. So after a few days, Kate met with a group of doctors to discuss her health, not her illness. Her healthiness. Diagnosing illness is difficult. Analyzing healthiness is more complex. It took several doctors several hours for Kate to learn and understand what they had learned about her healthiness and her unhealthiness. Isn't this interesting? I'm sure some of the people who listen to this show know where I'm coming from, and they're beginning to learn holistic medicine, treating the whole body, letting the body heal itself. That's why there's no cure for cancer except the human body. So this goes on. I'm going to miss a few things here because we're running low. But when the surgeon asked, Kate went back to Canada to put her learning into action. The lump disappeared. Her diagnosis was still there on paper, but her cancer had disappeared. She was tested at her hospital, and no cancer was found. Then Kate began to disappear, and that's what this article is all about. When the surgeon asked again, she explained that she was not going to surgery. The surgeon looked away. He refused to look her in the eye after that. But Kate didn't disappear from her family. She went back to her family. She didn't disappear from her job. She went back to her job. She didn't disappear from the cancer system. Her cancer disappeared. So as a cancer patient, she disappeared. Do you get where I'm going with this?
Oh, I got what you're going. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So this is you will find this. I'm going to link this article on my blog, which is theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com, or you can simply go to wakingtimes.com, and it's called The Case of the Incredible Disappearing Cancer Patient. So anyone who's got some sort of an issue, a health issue, read through this. Take a deep breath. Relax. Get in tune with your body. Start researching diet. Research the disease itself, the nutrients possibly missing in your diet. Go full organic. Go green. Go lean. There are so many wonderful techniques and alternative solutions out there. For pretty much everything, Dr. Ted Brower is just a treasure trove of help in that department. But basically, at the end it says, there is no way for any doctor to tell. There are no tests for a cancer cure. There's no way to recognize, much less document a cancer cure. There are no statistics for cancer. Cancers cured. Many cured patients don't disappear quietly. They speak out. They write books and newspaper articles, they blog, but it doesn't matter. They still don't count. Once cured, they disappear. The medical system does not study their cases, does not study their diagnosis, does not study their cures.
So are you saying that we only study pathology and not wellness?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We don't understand. We look at, and that's what, when Dr. Toshiro was on the show, he said, rather than looking at specific organs, we look at the body as a system that's functioning. You know that old expression, a chain is as strong as its weakest link? Well, it's the same thing with the human body. And finding those underlying causes of any kind of disease, whether it's an autoimmune disease, cancer, whatever it is, arthritis, which is an autoimmune disease, fibros, you know, all those, there is an underlying disease, or there is an underlying cause. And that's what is so great about this, is medicine, modern medicine, doesn't count people who have disappeared. So that's my story for tonight, and I really want to encourage people to, because I say this every week, but I do get emails and phone calls from people, and you know, they want me to help them find cures, or I can't find cures and I can't give them medical diagnosis, but what I try to do is encourage them to become their own junior physician. I should have a junior physicians club, and start doing what I did. Look these things up, and relax, and don't be so afraid. What? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. That was not me.
Oh, what was? Who was that?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
The way things have been going lately, nothing would surprise me.
Wow, that was wild.
Ghost from the attic.
Oh my
but
gosh,
anyway,
that was the head of the FDA, I guess, coming in there and saying, don't listen. So, that's kind of spooky.
Big money in cancer. Katie, tell everyone how they can follow your work and what you have available.
You bet. They can go to my blog, which is theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com. They can go to my website, which is Family Essential Shop. They can call me. My specialty is essential oils. I'd love to get you stocked up with essential oils. I love them. I use them every day. Please call me at 720-630-3111. That's 720-630-3111. And I'll help you stock up and help you find links and do all kinds of good things like that. And thank you, Dave. I love this segment.
That was good stuff. I mean, they follow. Well, cancer is big business. That's why they follow it.
Absolutely.
Anyway, great timing. We're up on the break. And we come back, we'll have the man himself, James White.
$10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't pick on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years' experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
I want to talk about my friends at Food for Liberty. And James White and I have a website where we sell Food for Liberty products, and we have a solar generator available. And if you think someday that the grid could go down, you need to do what I've done. You need to do what most of us have done, which is to get a generator. And we have a fine line available at foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And if you buy yours this week, we're going to throw in a Christmas present. That Christmas present is a free grab-and-go bucket. So if you need to get out of Dodge quickly, you can take both your solar generator and your grab-and-go bucket, and it's 76 delicious restaurant-style meals, and we're going to help you finance it. 6 months, same as cash. We know it's a tough time of year with all the Christmas shopping and all the buying we got to do. So 6 months, same as cash. foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Well, my head is still spinning. I don't know who's more responsible, Denise Simon, Billy Crone, my health conscience, Katie Whelan, or what we're going to talk about next with James White. This has been, let's just say, an eventful few days, culminated by unbelievable events today. Jim, welcome in.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate you having me once again on the broadcast. Yeah, it's kind of a weird day, I guess, in the sense that we talked to our friend Mike Adams earlier, and I'm sure that's what you're referencing. And you guys have parallel information, of course. And I don't know how much information you've been able to glean since we talked earlier. But Pete Santelli is on the same broadcast that we are during the week on TalkNetwork.com, which is Mike's network. It really is Mike's network. Well, he's a broadcaster on there, and he was pulled over just recently. And I want to say, if you go on nationalnews.com, you can see the video, or he's got a video update. But Pete Santelli was pulled over because he was on a DHS terror watch list. And he was, of course, arrested and put in jail, released the next day after they, you know, checked up and to make sure that he, of course, is not a terrorist, and he was wrongly put on a terror watch list. Now, the speculation is, of course, that, you know, Loretta Lynch has come out and stated that they're going to come after people like us. They've created, Homeland Security has created their own specific department within a department to come after patriots and patriot broadcasters and patriot, you know, newscasters, if you will. So yeah, we're seeing that, I think, creep forward here, Dave. And what we're speculating is perhaps they are putting fellows like us on these terror watch lists. And when we get pulled over by the police, instantly the traffic stop gets escalated, guns get drawn, you know, tensions are high. And, you know, are they hoping that somebody in the alternative media, you know, fires a shot maybe at the police, or the police come and, you know, and kill perhaps somebody in the alternative media that we know they want to get rid of anyway? So, you know, this is somewhat, you know, speculative. But, you know, Dave, there's no doubt about it that Pete Santelli was on a terror watch list. He was arrested, and he did get put in jail. So that's no speculation there.
Well, I wrote an article earlier in the week entitled "Loretta Lynch Threatens to Prosecute Hodges, Hagman, et al. For Opposing the Immigration of Unscreened Immigrants." And, Jim, you've seen some of the documentation I published in support of that. And, of course, you know, when you do this work long enough, you've got your naysayers, and they try to jump on and say, oh, Dave, there you go again, full of crap. There is nothing there going on with the independent media. Oh, really? Then explain to me what just happened to Pete Santelli, journalist on TalkNetwork.com. What just happened to him? In the same week that I published this, and people say, that just can't be true. And I will tell you something else that's going on. One of our good friends, and I think I'm going to hold back the bulk of the story until I get to speak with this individual personally. And I have tried and tried and tried to get a hold of this person today. But I received an email that said, Dave, and by the way, if I said the name of who I'm talking about, you would all know. Every one of you would know. But I got this email that said, Dave, in reference to your story earlier in the week, there's a lot more to this Loretta Lynch mob story than we know. And he was preparing to meet with an insider at a truck stop not very far from his home. At least that was my understanding. And I have not been able to make contact with this person. I'm sure that I will tomorrow. But this marks a new era in American journalism, where someone like Pete Santelli, who does no more than what James and I and Katie do, and so many of us, we just get behind a microphone, and all we're trying to do is tell the truth. We don't advocate for violence. We don't advocate for a violent overthrow of the U.S. government. What we advocate for is that we put our culture back in place and recognize the fact that this was a Christian nation when it was founded, and that members of various branches of government prayed on a regular basis. We want the Constitution enforced as it's written, not Obama's ideologue of communist whims as expressed in executive orders. That's what we stand for. And for that, We're on Loretta Lynch Mobb's list. I'm looking here at her picture on this article that I wrote, and I can't make out everything, but this picture was taken as she made this announcement. We're coming after you. If you talk about Muslims coming into the country and the refugee resettlement program, we are coming after you. In the background, you can see the picture. She's got the backdrop of a Muslim organization. Not the red, white, and blue flag of America. Need I say more, Jim?
No, there's not. I mean, no, this is an ongoing, you know, this is ongoing tyranny. And I just sent over a document here from Judicial Watch, just here from this past July. New documents reveal that the Department of Justice, the IRS, and the FBI plan to seek criminal charges of Obama opponents. So, I mean, Dave, this is something right out of you know, 1940s Germany, for crying out loud. The opponents? I mean, so who's the opponents? It's the people speaking out about the criminality and exposing the fact that the emperor has no clothes. You know, that's a really bad sign in a society, Dave, when people who speak out against the so-called leader is, you know, subject to criminal charges. That brings up some very scary memories for me.
Hey, Dave and Jim.
Yes.
I have a real quick quote that might be cringeworthy for some people that absolutely plays into what you're saying. Hillary Clinton, back in 2003, I won't be as shrill as she was because anybody listening to that video can remember it, but she said, "I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. We should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration." Should we not take these words to Miss Loretta Lynch Mobb and say, explain this?
I agree. Anyone within the sound of our voice needs to call their congressman. Yes, I know it's sometimes a futile act, and demand articles of impeachment be drawn up against her. One day after the San Bernardino massacre, she's threatening to arrest journalists for telling the truth. Not one word of sympathy for the 14 people that were slaughtered by a member of ISIS, the very kinds of people that this administration is allowing into the country. Not one word of compassion towards the loss of life with regard to the family members in this holiday season. I just am beside myself at the callousness, the insensitivity, the absolute thuggery that comes out of the Obama administration. I mean, they are thugs on wheels, folks. They make the Sicilian mafia look calm by comparison.
But how is it that we don't have a right to disagree with the administration without being thrown in jail, threatened, intimidated, and yet when Bush was president, this was Hillary Clinton's response? Let's bring this to the forefront and play it over and over and over. This, she was right about this. Amazingly enough, the one thing she was right about. Let's not forget this. Throw it back at them.
Well, when she was in the minority, it was okay for her to be right and say that. But now that she's just going to try to finish the job that Obama started, no dissent allowed.
Right. Exactly.
Well, you know, we've already been sequestered in our ability exercise our First Amendment rights, because they have now, anytime there's a large event or a gathering of these so-called leaders, there's free speech zones. Now how moronic is that? And people put up with it. Free speech zones. Now in college campuses, there's only certain locations that you can have free speech. There's free speech zones. You know, I submit to you guys that if you have to create free speech zones, you're really sort of defeating the whole idea of free speech, in my view. And now you look at the Fourth Amendment; it's pretty much been eviscerated. The search and seizure, they collect our data at will. Pretty much, they've been told not to. Of course, they still do. We know that. So, I mean, as you see, they're going down the Bill of Rights one by one, and they're trying to eliminate them. And especially with the First Amendment, you know, we really, that's the one that we have to, the First and Second, no doubt, they're all important, but we have to really, really hold tight to those first two, or we're doomed. It sounds so, so dreadful, but we're doomed if we don't.
Well, there's a reason why free speech is the First Amendment, and we've got to protect our right to free speech with the Second Amendment, and we're having an effect. See, I'm sorry what happened to Pete, and Pete, you know, if you're listening and you get word that we have reported this, you know, in the spirit as Mike Adams reported it earlier today, we support you, brother. What happened to him can happen to any of us, and you don't need to be in the media to be abused. You know, we had on, you know, Billy Crone, who talked about drone technology and how they can target you from almost any distance, any elevation, and come and take you out with micro aerial vehicles. This is where we're headed. Folks, let's recognize what this is. We are in a lawless society where the Constitution no longer matters. And it's been that way for a while, but we've crossed over to the edge to where we've given government dictatorial powers over us, but we've gone beyond that now. We're into Nazi Germany stuff. And I know some people cringe when they hear Nazi Germany. Oh, Hitler wasn't that bad. You're listening to the wrong show if you believe that. This is Nazi Germany, East German Stasi, KGB Stalin. This is where we are at. And let me remind everybody who's listening. Let's go way back when I interviewed Larry Grathwohl for the last time, former FBI special informant who penetrated the Weatherman Underground. And who ran that criminal communist organization? Bill Ayers and his wife, Bernadine Thorne. They both have done time for their criminal activities that resulted in the death of law enforcement personnel. And who launched this president's political career? Bill Ayers and Bernadine Thorne in their Chicago home. And what Larry revealed the last time I interviewed him before his untimely death was that he actually asked Bill Ayers, when you win and there is a communist takeover of America, what will you do? And he said, well, he was kind of surprised by the question. I guess he really hadn't thought about winning. He said, well, when we win, we'll have to put 50 million Americans in concentration camps in the Southwest and do away with over half of them, meaning murder over 25 million people. And that's when the country was about 165 million people. Jim, what's your reaction to that?
Well, you know, Dave, I think you characterized it accurately before when you described it as a mafia. If you look at the old Sicilian mafias, and certainly the movie The Godfather has been popularized, and there's many others, but you have really the administrative arm, or the Don, I suppose, would be our current administration. You have the enforcement arm, which is DHS, sort of the muscle. You know, they come in and take care of any funny business, and then of course to extract the tribute from everybody, much like a mafia, they have the IRS, who of course, as we know from the previous story, works in concert with the current administration, along with the Department of Justice and the FBI, to target people that are against the Don. You know, the Don, not the Donald, not Donald Trump, of course. I'm talking about the current mafia Don running things. So really, Dave, you did characterize it properly. It really is sort of a mafia. And unfortunately, we're the ones that are being, you know, our wealth and our creativity and our ability to, you know, to flourish is being extracted by these criminals. And, you know, until we stand up and say we're not putting up with it anymore, they're going to show us no quarter. I can tell you that.
Well, and you have this judicial watch you just sent me. New documents reveal DOJ, IRS, and FBI plan to seek criminal charges of Obama opponents. What? Are you kidding me? That's crazy.
That's the world we're living in, Katie. This is what happens when people fall asleep and they let tyrannical leaders dictate their very lives, their very lifestyles, which they do, you know, and of course they do it in concert with the media. And there's a few nefarious organizations that are involved with them, but it's a corporatocracy and a tyranny. And you know, when you stand up and let it steamroll forward, this is the results that you have. Not to mention the fact, we're not even talking about the fact that no one fears God anymore. No one fears what God says in the Bible, and people have turned their back completely against that. So I mean, we're in bad shape. I hate to say it, but we're in bad shape. It's going to be doom and gloom tonight, Dave. But you know, it's a dark night.
What is doom and gloom? In fact, let me take the doom and gloom to a different angle and cover a story that broke on Friday evening. Boy, Jim, I'll tell you, my head is spinning. I received a call from Paul Martin, Colorado, good friend of mine, great source of information. Paul Martin is the proprietor of revolutionradio.org, and he referred me to a friend of his in Kansas, Eddie Petrowski, and I've talked to Eddie a couple times before, and his wife Lisa. They live in Pratt, Kansas, which is also in Pratt County, and they had found in their town, local law enforcement, the sheriff and the police chief, had found these abandoned chlorine boxcars, and they've been gathering by the number, increasing by the number, and no one knows where they're coming from. They've been accumulating since the beginning of the year, and they just keep growing and growing in number. Well, this last week, these cars that are on a defunct railroad, the railroad's in such disrepair that these cars can't travel more than 5 miles an hour, and that's from local law enforcement. And these cars somehow got moved to where they were blocking Highway 54. And what Eddie told me in a subsequent follow-up conversation on Saturday, we first talked on Friday evening, he told me that the only thing that stopped these cars were more cars like them, and both sets of cars were hidden conveniently behind trees so as to obscure their presence from the highway. And Eddie's wife, Lisa, works in the co-op, and Lisa has been told that by the co-op people that this is a phenomenon around the country. And since I published these results, and I'm not quite done with this story, but since I published this, I have now received up to 5 accounts of similar stories around the country, ranging from Pennsylvania to California. And now these boxcars are showing up on Google Earth, and people have been able to find them on Google Earth. And if you go to thecommonsenseshow.com after the show and look up the article that I wrote on it here, and let me reference the article correctly. Breaking news, abandoned chlorine-carrying railroad cars are suddenly showing up across the country. And I've got Eddie's story in there along with what Lisa said. And also we know that DHS and the FBI have been on the scene. And but they're saying now, the cover story has now been invented. They're saying, oh, it's just for the ethanol. Really, why are these train cars being hidden behind trees on a defunct railroad? And if you go down further down this railroad, and I looked at a map yesterday, these railroad cars could intersect with a new railroad. It could be taken directly into Wichita, Kansas, mid-sized city, and a distance of about 50 miles. I also referenced in here, let me pull this up, Jim, and I'm going to get your comment on this in a second here, but let me pull this up here. I told Eddie and Paul I couldn't go with this story unless I could get some collaborating information. So, listening audience, I hope you're sitting down. How's this for collaboration? Expert from the UK says ISIS is likely to initiate a chlorine attack on the UK and the US. And he was asked, could we see some kind of attack like what happened in the Japanese subway in Tokyo 20 years ago from that terrorist organization that killed 13 people when they released the sarin gas? And this individual named Hamash de Britain de Gordon, who was a former commanding officer at the Joint Chemical, Biological, and Radiological Nuclear Regiment, said, yes, ISIS could replicate the Tokyo gas attacks in the UK and US relatively easy, but they would likely be using chlorine. He said it's evident that ISIS is putting much time and effort into training its jihadis in the use of chlorine as a terror weapon, and in particular inside of IEDs. Quote, virtually every foreign jihadi who enters the United States and the UK will have been exposed to training of this sort and will have a reasonable idea on how to use chlorine and other toxic chemicals as a terror weapon. I would say that's pretty good collaboration, that we are on to something here, folks. ISIS plans to hit us with these kinds of cars. They'll bring in the chlorine. The cars are there for the waiting. And first of all, these cars should never have moved on their own because they got air brakes. I mean, I could go on and on about this, Jim, but what's your reaction to this, Jim? Let me get your take.
Well, you know, I was I don't watch TV, really. I was at the gym, actually, and the TV was on, and Fox News happened to be on. And they were talking about disaster preparations. They were talking about panic rooms and about, I mean, it wasn't a make fun of people who do these things. This was an informational piece specifically that they produced to let people know about disaster, you know, disaster planning. Now you have, Dave, you have had reports and certain of I have around here where I live locally, there are quite a few people that are pretty wealthy. Elites are building underground bunkers, going underground, getting prepared. Is it this type of thing they're getting prepared for, Dave? Some sort of a release of chlorine gas? You know, all these underground bunkers that they have all have, you know, air filtration systems. There actually are two people around here that have them built. I haven't seen them, but I know of them. So yeah, I mean they're preparing for something, Dave, and you know, chlorine is no laughing matter. I mean, this is a deadly thing. This would ruin a lot of people's days very quickly. And if you see, you know, if you look at some of the recent, or in the past I should say, spills, or when trains have issues with chlorine and this type of stuff, they evacuate, you know, 2 or 3 square miles because of the deadly nature of these chemicals. So, yeah, I mean, something like you're talking about, Dave, I'll tell you one thing. I hope by getting it out in the open and shining a light on it, it'll stop these criminals from pulling something like this off. But, yeah, as I said, to put it mildly, it would be a bad day for many if some sort of a chlorine type of an attack occurred.
Well, I know that Eddie was onto something because I was talking to Paul when I was driving home Friday night, and I was on my long commute. And he wanted me to call Eddie, and I says, gosh, it's after 10 o'clock back there, Paul. And I know Eddie's a farmer, and I didn't want to wake him up. And he said, no, no, no. He says, I'll check it out, let you know. He calls me back, says, call Eddie, he's waiting for you. So I call Eddie, and as soon as we start getting into the meat and potatoes of what's going on, and I start asking him questions, and he's starting to talk about what law enforcement is saying locally and how they're trying to enlist the local citizenry to help, and how the feds have tried to enlist the local law enforcement to keep their eyes open, we got disconnected. That's not unusual. So I tried to call him back. All circuits are busy. I tried to call him back. And basically what I got was a message, you can't complete this call, is dialed, blah, blah, blah. I hit redial from the first call. And then something really weird happened. All the references to his number for the 3 times I had called at that time all disappeared from my caller ID. And this is after I hit redial. So then, fortunately, I remember the number, and I call him, and rather than get him, I get a shrill sound, and somewhat unknown photograph flashes across my cell phone. So I put it on speaker because I was driving, and this picture flashes across. Well, in the meantime, as I talk to Eddie later, he's trying to call me, too, and can't get anything. So I hang up, I call Paul, and Paul was able to get right through to him. No problems. So our communications between the Petrowskis and myself were being artificially blocked. In other words, someone did not want this information to be exchanged. That's the only thing that makes any sense here. And this story has now been buried because they're saying, oh, we put ethanol inside chlorine trains that we hide behind trees on defunct railroads. I mean, Jim, does that even make sense?
Well, no. Well, it makes sense if you're trying to perpetrate criminal activity, of course, yeah. If you're trying to justify your criminality. But if people think that you are sort of, you know, being off your rocker here with somebody coming in and messing with your phone, let's not forget a couple of years back where there were well over 100 reports of the cable company going into people's cable and removing that one show from Jesse Ventura. Do you remember that one that was very controversial? The FEMA camp episode. If you remember, they came in there and pulled that right off of people's cable box.
Yeah, their DVRs. Yeah, they took them off their DVRs, right?
Yes, they did. So, I mean, you know, the people, within the sound of the listening audience here, I mean, if you're hooked up electronically and you're connected to the web with a web appliance, let's face it, unless you've got some crackpot security going, you're subject to be monitored. Your data is not safe. It's not secure. I mean, unless you're one of those brainiacs that really set everything up like that with a bunch of security, and it's really much, much harder these days than it ever has been, your stuff's out there. So, I mean, be mindful of that. Anyway, I didn't want to go down that road, Dave, but yeah, they can crack in and take and do these type of things you're talking about. So, no, you're not crazy when you say that.
Yeah, well, you know, Jim, to be continued, because I'm hoping by putting this out in the public domain that we've made them back down before. I mean, we've had instances before where the independent media has broken stories like this, and we've backed them down. We've backed them down because we started waking people up, and they don't want an open confrontation. They want to keep their confrontations covert, stealthy. Jim, we only got about a minute left. Let's tell people about our show. We're now starting our third week as of tomorrow. Tell them how they can listen to us. And I'll just put this in, and yeah, I suppose I'm bragging a little bit, but I'm really proud of the fact we're reaching so many more people. It's so awesome. Our listening audience is estimated to be at 2 million people, and we're not done adding. That's all I got to say. And so hopefully, if we get this message out this week, we're going to be able to raise a lot of eyebrows and maybe make these globalists back up. But Jim, tell people how they can listen to our show.
Well, I think right here in this very Global Star Network, Dave, weekdays, 2 to 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. This week we'll be live. Actually, the first 3 days we'll have original programming. We'll have tomorrow a great show. We have Gerard Williams, who wrote the book on Hitler's escape to Argentina. Fascinating. Monday we have, or Tuesday I should say, we're going to have our Mondays with Mike segment on Tuesday. And then Wednesday we're going to have Dane Wigington, who I know is a friend of yours and a friend of mine.
Good stuff. Yeah, we've had him on this show too. Yep. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stuff with great guests. And our home station we broadcast out of is AM 1600 WMQM out of Memphis. But they got a wide reach with lots of affiliates and 50,000 booming watts. Anyway, folks, I want all of you to go out and have a great Christmas. Enjoy your family. Enjoy the time of peace we have available to us until the end times really kick off. And I do believe that's where we're headed. We will see you back here soon. Take care.